Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. Yes, 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 I'm back. Thank you so much for tuning into the program. This is a season where I'm doing a little bit of traveling, and actually, next year I'll be doing quite a bit of traveling. But I will be in studio as frequently as I can be, because I have a couple assignments that I have to get done. But my main assignment is to be here with you. So thank you so much for all of you who have tuned into the program. Today, we have the full J-Squared contingent in the house. Mr. Jeff Reed to my left, Mr. Jason Tross on my right, Marty Sparks lighting up the dark from the screening room, and we are ready with today's edition of the program. Let me let you all know this. We are inching ever more closely to our share-a-thon, which will start in October. Let me get the dates. I should have had the dates right in front of me. That's right. October 15th through the 17th is when our share-a-thon will take place. But prior to share-a-thon, we are inviting you to provide listener testimony. If you enjoy the Ministry of American Family Radio, you enjoy this particular programming, what we'd like to have you do is to call us and to share that testimony. And this is what happens with it. When you share your testimony, you will call into the number that I'm going to give you in a second. You will call into the number and leave the equivalent of a voicemail, basically. You leave a voice message. What's going to happen is that our production staff will get that voice message and produce it. And during the share-a-thon, you may very well hear your own voice sharing your testimony. We found that one of the best ways to spread the word concerning American Family Radio is to allow the audience to hear from you. So to do that, I'm inviting you to call the listener testimony line, and that number is 877-876-8893. That number again is 877-876-8893. 893, and that is the line you can call to provide your listener testimony. It could be anything. If it's just a general enjoyment of the network, if there's a particular testimony or a particular show or ministerial moment that resonated with you, we want to hear all about it. And so we invite you to call that listener testimony line. All right. Well, most of you are making your way right now from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, and I want to encourage you to make that transition with full intentionality, having the understanding that serving our families is ministry. I refer to as part-time work what we do outside of our home to generate an income. Most of us do that outside of our home, although there's some of us who work from home and are blessed to generate income that way. But for the majority of us, we do that outside of our home. Well, that's your part-time job. That's not your identity. That's what you do to earn income. But your full-time job is connected to who you are. Your full-time job is connected to the first ministerial priority that we have. Of course, we want to serve our neighborhood. Of course, we want to serve the public. We want to serve our communities. Can I tell you something? The first ministerial objective every single one of us has is to serve our families. When Jesus explained the unfolding of the Great Commission, he articulated that you begin in Jerusalem and then move from there to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. I want to encourage and challenge you to make sure, yes, win the world, absolutely. Make that paper outside of your home, absolutely. But please don't do so at the expense of your family. Please don't do so at the expense of your spouse, at the expense of your children. You know, one thing that I say routinely, and Jason and I talked about this weekend, you don't get to redo 15 years old with your children. You don't get to redo 17. You don't get to redo 6, 7, 8. You don't get to go back and do those things over again. And so I want to simply encourage you to make sure that we're present and fully engaged in the first ministerial order of business, which is serving our families well. We will never be able to out public policy, nor even out church the deficiencies we have in the home. Make sure that we batten down the hatches at our home. And then from there, we expand at the other venues of ministry. Praise God. Well, we're going to begin today in Romans chapter 12. And I've been thinking, and this is going to connect to probably one of the first stories we get to in the second segment. But you know, what I want, one thing that happens is when I get away, I think when we're here too, I hear somebody say, oh, I guess you don't think when you're here, I ain't. No, I think when I'm here too, hopefully that comes across. But some things I've just been reflecting on, and this is nothing new, nothing novel, but just an encouragement, a reminder of something that should be part and parcel as to who we are as Christ followers. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. This is Paul writing this epistle or letter to the saints of God in Rome. And Paul says this: I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I've said this before, but I want to reiterate this today, that Paul is writing this to believers. He refers to presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, as our reasonable service. Being a living sacrifice is far more challenging than even being an unliving sacrifice, because once this natural life is done, that's a wrap. But being a living sacrifice means freshly, on a daily basis, we have to offer ourselves afresh to the Lord through our lifestyles, not merely through our speech. Speech is important, but our speech must match our lifestyles. But then the next component I want to highlight is that Paul is writing to Christians in Rome. First century Rome. Think about the debauchery that permeated first century Rome. And Paul is writing to first century Roman, to first century believers in Rome, and saying, do not be conformed to this world. Now, why would Paul write that? Paul is writing this because he is underscoring the potential that exists for Christ followers to be conformed to the pattern of the world. That is worth pausing and reflecting on as believers in our day and age. It should cause us to introspectively ask ourselves the question, have we been conformed to the world around us? Another rendering for the word world there is the age. Do not be conformed to this age. Do not be conformed to this age. Rather, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. I've said before that the Greek word for transform there is metamorpho, where we get our English word metamorphosis. But the tense of the word metamorpho is written that this metamorpho process is a continual process. How are we to be metamorphosed, to be transformed? By the renewal of our minds. Brothers and sisters, we must consistently submit ourselves to be renewed in our understanding, in our manner of thinking, in our manner of living. How are we renewed? By the word of God. To say it in a simple manner, we must consistently. There's no such thing as this once you're there's one and done type thing. We must consistently, on a regular basis, subject ourselves to Holy Spirit-induced scrutiny by the Word of God. The Bible refers to the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit. We must subject ourselves to Holy Spirit-induced scrutiny by the Word of God to consistently ask ourselves whether the way we think, the way we live, the way we understand is consistent with the Word of God, or whether it is opposed to the Word of God. Now, when I say that, I'm not exclusively thinking about, you know, the Hollywood understanding of sinfulness and missing the mark. I mean, in every area. Are we being conformed in any area to the way of the world? Have we loosened in our convictions because anti-biblical understandings are prevailing? You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking across the board. in the manner, in the way that we deal with our financial issues, our financial matters. How do we deal with our interpersonal relationships? How we talk to one another? How we think about one another? I often use the example, I say this statement and I use this example, that if you don't know who you are, the world will tell you. If you don't know who you are, the world will give you its identity. The world will give you its identity. And I use this example. Many of us, as we have matured chronologically, that's aging, by the way, as well as in other areas, you find just this is just a simple example that some of us may want to start businesses as entrepreneurs. It's difficult to find lending institutions to give you loans for things. But isn't it amazing when you have young, wet behind the ears college freshmen, 17, 18, 19 years old, they show up on college campuses, and what's one of the first things they encounter? All of these banks and credit card companies that want to just lob credit cards to these unsuspecting young people. Why do you think they do that? If you don't know who you are, if you don't know your identity, the world will give you its identity. It's an invitation to get these young people consumed in this system of economics that says, well, you must have a history of being a borrower. You know, I found that only people need to borrow are people that don't have money. And before you even know it, you have young people that are overwhelmed in debt in all of these ways, not merely in the student loans, but in debt with credit cards up to their ears before they can even spell balancing checkbooks, before they can even understand the inner workings of FICO scores. Because often these young people don't have a vision for financial management nor an understanding of it, but the world certainly has its understanding for you. And so then you find, at the time you finally get some understanding, you have to work your way out of this debt boulder that you have invited on your own, without the understanding. I just use that as an example to say many of us have been conformed to the world's way of thinking before even considering whether or not the Word of God speaks to that. You know, the Bible gives us little hints. Like a borrower is a slave to the lender. Gives us little hints that the Israelites were prohibited from lending to one another on interest or usury. I wonder why that's in the Bible. I wonder why that's in the Bible. There are forces that are more than willing to prey on you by conforming you. And the Greek word there for conforming in Romans 12 is squeeze you into the mold of something that you are not. So many, and this is from personal experience, I've spent time with and counseled so many believers who have a godly desire to be a missionary or to serve God in other ways, but they can't pursue those courses of life because they have to pay off the slave master, credit card company. And I'm not using this exclusively to highlight financial decision-making that has been made in error, but to highlight the broader principle that have we been conformed to the way of the world? My encouragement to you is to rethink everything in light of the scripture, to make it your duty to search out the word of God to see whether or not God has spoken directly or provided a principle for every issue that faces us. And I'll give you a hint. He has. He has. Often, the issue is not whether or not God has spoken to a matter or has given us principles for the matters. The issue often is that we are ignorant as to what God has said. My encouragement, man, is not to allow the world to blunt your sharpness spiritually, to cause you to all of a sudden become uncomfortable being a peculiar person. The calling that we have as Christ followers is to peculiarity. But in Mark, for example, the Gospel of Mark chapter 7, the Lord Jesus himself records that traditions of men make the word of God to none effect, not because the word of God is ineffective, but because we are more adherent to the customs of the world and the culture around us. The challenge I want to offer is to press pause on stinking thinking and to reorient ourselves according to the word of God in wherever an ideal or a thought process that we have strays from the Word of God, to have the humility and the integrity to submit ourselves to change.
Dr. Death caught in a lie. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Liberty Counsel just defended a pro-life hero in criminal court. Our client is a brave grandmother named Sandra Merritt. Sandra is facing criminal charges for whistleblowing against Planned Parenthood. She recorded undercover videos of this wicked organization. One of the videos played in court included a Planned Parenthood abortionist discussing over lunch how she participated in selling body parts of aborted babies. The abortionist initially told the court she was shocked by the video. She claimed it was edited to portray her saying things she didn't really say. But then, under questioning from Liberty Counsel's attorney, the truth was revealed. The abortionist admitted the video clips were accurate, not altered. Sandra should not be on trial. Planned Parenthood is the one committing perjury and illegal acts, and indeed even murder. Please pray and stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
I love AFR. You say it's on the radio too?
Here at American Family Radio, we know that many people find their audio entertainment in other places than the radio. So our programming is available with the AFR app on Apple and Android devices, through Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
I just love the podcasts.
That too. American Family Radio, streaming our podcast, now available wherever you are. And we're on the radio.
Friendships is offering an amazing opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, learn relief missions, experience life on the mission field, and become physically fit. Sound like something you're looking for? Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program. The next session begins this September and includes a humanitarian aid mission to Israel. Visit friendships.org or phone 333-433-5022.
Ryan Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Regressives have a seething hatred for men and masculinity. The American Psychological Association tells us that when men act with strength, determination, and appropriate aggressiveness, they are displaying toxic masculinity. But men, being men, is what achieved our liberty in 1776, freed the slaves in 1865, and defeated Hitler and the Nazis in 1945. Along the way, men tamed the wilderness, built strong families, and through the Protestant work ethic, built the greatest, strongest, and freest nation in the history of the world. God wants American men to be men, not feminized versions of men. I've made a modest contribution to manhood in America through the Boy to Man book. It's for fathers who want to turn their 12-year-old boys into men. You can order your copy today at afastore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. If you haven't noticed it yet, climate hysteria and alarmism has reached the place to where, you know, it is my contention that it rivals religious zealotry. I mean, climate alarmism is filled with its own patron saints. You know, Al Gore, Occasional Cortex. Haven't used that one in a while. You know, Holy Writ, the Paris Climate Accord, the Green New Deal, which is more about totalitarian economics than it is about greening anything. But that said, this weekend, rolling on into today, because the UN General Assembly started today in New York City, which, can somebody tell me why we still allow the UN to meet in New York? I'm just wondering. But leaving that aside for the moment, I'm not going to get on that for now. But this weekend, you had a climate strike. Seriously, a climate strike. Now, you know, I'm just a dude from the Ninth Ward in Orange, you know what I'm saying? But can somebody explain to me how you strike against the climate? How do you go on strike against the climate? You know what? Climate, we're not going to work today. I'm thinking about Martin Cole. You stupid. Let me get myself together. Let me get it together here, folks. I had a climate strike. You had, what do they call it, Jeff, in Manhattan? The protests? Protest on climate in Manhattan. And then even yesterday you had protesters protesting for climate, but they didn't do anything but stop traffic in D.C. I'm just going to give you a little taste, some audio. First up, you have this insanity unfolding in Washington, D.C. I just want you to listen to this shrieking that is going on from these people. Play clip number four, please, Jason.
They're not here to talk about our sacrifices and our doom and gloom and not existing. We are here to create! Yeah. We are creating this movement every day because every day of inaction drives more action from us!
Okay. Somebody have a breath mint? Because doesn't she sound like she might have a tad of the halitosis? You know what I mean? Not a breath mint, a breath mint. Anyway, this has gotten so ridiculous. So we are, as a populace, expected to buy this jazz, hook, line, and sinker, as if we forgot, you know, that the original, not the original, but earlier alarmism surrounded what? Global cooling. I mean, we're supposed to ignore the fact that the releasing of CO2 level, CO2 being released into the atmosphere has resulted in large swaths of the largest forests in America, I mean, not America, in the world, increasing in foliage, in greening more, meaning there are more trees and plants growing. We're supposed to just ignore that. We're supposed to ignore that you have masses, for example, in the Arctic, that you have ice shelves that are expanding. Not melting, but expanding. And we're supposed to ignore that the greatest, and this is according to their so-called scientific heroes, that the greatest amount of climate changing with responses like the Paris Climate Accord will result in like 1.5 degrees over 50 years. Come on, man. We're supposed to just ignore all of that. And it's just sad, man, because a part of this, and this is bringing me to a point that I want to make, but I'm going to play some additional audio. Yeah, Sean, I said breath mints. Sean said, did he say breath mints with an F? I say breath, F or PH, however you want to spell it. what I want to go into is that as this stuff has happened, is happening. You know, the media is almost unanimously parroting the climate alarmist perspectives. You know, the educational systems, government educational systems especially. And they are literally scaring the bejeebers out of young people who oftentimes don't know enough to do their own research, who oftentimes don't have the ability to read the actual studies instead of just the cliff notes or the summaries from the talking heads. You know, for example, like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's quote of 12 years and then we're doomed. The actual scientist who conducted the study that she drew the 12-year quote from said, nah, she's misunderstanding the study. I mean, the actual scientist, not me, not some feature of the vast right-wing conspiracy. The actual scientist said, no, that's not what we said. But they just roll on like, hey, it's no problem. You know, it's kind of like, and I didn't even plan on talking about this, but it's very similar to remember the craze about 30 years ago was about, oh, there's going to science, biology proved that there's a gay gene, that homosexuality is caused genetically. And then Harvard and MIT scholars, just like about 2 weeks ago, put out a study that followed 477,500 people. And they went, and their conclusion was, yeah, there's nothing genetic that predicts sexual orientation. But that doesn't stop people rocking, I mean, playing songs, Born This Way, and it's like, nah, you're not. Which, as an aside, I pray and hope that it's encouraging. If there's anybody who's listening to me right now that's wrestling with unwanted same-sex attraction, to where you know the science even supports what the Bible says, that nobody was born. There is no genetic connection to same-sex orientation. So my point is, you can be set free. Just like whoremongers can be set free. Violations of God's sexual standards, you and I can be delivered from them. All right, back to what I wanted to get to. With all of this information, with climate alarmism, climate hysteria, I mean, this is insane, folks. There are younger people that have been around for all of this stuff, listening to it, deceived by it, and are really frightened by it. I'm going to play for you now a little audio from today. We have a young lady, 16 years old, Greta Thunberg. Let me say her name properly. For some reason, the United Nations wanted to hear from a teenager. Can someone explain that to me too? But anyhow, she spoke before a climate summit at the United Nations, and I want you to hear a little bit of what she said today. Please play clip number 3.
My message is that we'll be watching you. This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words, and yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
Now, I'm just gonna get a little biblical on you for a second. The Bible gives great examples as to what happens when neophytes are elevated to positions of authority prematurely. In fact, the prophet Isaiah, or you may want to say Esaias, prophesied that when children are running the show, that's evidence of judgment. I'm just going to let you put that in your pipe and do what thou wilt with that tidbit of information. Now, that being said, this young lady said, you all, now she's talking to the people at the UN General Assembly, you all have stolen my dreams, my childhood. They stole her childhood. How'd they do that? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words. And then she said, I'm one of the lucky ones. She didn't explain how she was lucky, but leaving that alone. Then she said, we are in the beginning of a mass extinction. Mass extinction. And I wish you could have saw the video, because you have all, pardon my French, but you had these idiotic adults all around here, they're nodding their heads in affirmation. Yes, 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 yes. Nodding in agreement with this little girl. At the beginning of a mass extinction, and they're nodding along with her. But she began with something that I agree with when she said, I shouldn't be here. I should be back at school. You're right. You shouldn't be there. You shouldn't be there. But you know, one of the things I was thinking about with all of this proliferation of climate alarmism, and some of these young people are really afraid. They are really afraid. Their fear is not based on, I would say, credible information, but it doesn't change the fact that they're really afraid. And it made me think, this is consistent with regressives' willingness to abuse children as long as it fits their political agenda. I mean, you think about all of this climate alarmism, and this little girl's up there saying, you stolen my dreams. Say what? You got young people in Australia who have said, you know what? You know how we're going to deal with this climate issue? We're not going to have children until the climate crisis is solved. I'm like, who do you? Okay, who are you hurting? Like really? And it also reminded me of the regressive penchant to abuse children for a political agenda. The gun control debate is another one. You got David the Boss Hog running around, talking big noise, letting his ego swell, and all of these things, young people spouting off stuff that they don't even know about. They're talking points that have been fed to them by their handlers. You know, this young lady, Greta, what's her name again? Thunberg. Did you know her parents are really stage parents? Oh, yeah. Her mom was a professional opera singer, and her dad and grandfather both gained fame and notoriety through acting and directing. How many times do you think they ran over that little performance? But they don't care. Throw them up there to get the agenda espoused. And one of the most egregious examples, and some of you are like, oh, I think I know where he's going, of the willingness to destroy children, to abuse children in order to proliferate their political agenda, abortion. They know it's not about health care. In fact, and I'm no defender of Planned Parenthood nor its former president, but the president that Planned Parenthood just fired, she got fired because she was trying to move Planned Parenthood, one of the reasons she got fired, I would say, into a direction that more squarely focused on health care and not a roving regressive political agenda. They're like, nah, out of here. We'll talk about healthcare all day long, but we really want to kill babies. That's where our bread is buttered. Folks, this is what's happening here. You see the same thing with the sexual deviancy agenda. And you have people telling, oh, no, you're just alarmist. While I am watching. I saw myself on a Walmart shelf, the new Ken from the Ken and Barbie dolls. I'm just keep it real. It got Ken looking softer than a whoopee cushion. And you have Ken as a mermaid. Now, how can Ken be a mermaid? Listen, I'm just telling you. We can go to the clothing. Have you noticed how boys and men's clothing are being feminized? And girls and women's clothing are being masculinized? I mean, man, I'm not making this stuff up. But you have people that are more than willing to abuse children to advance their political agenda. Scaring children like this with this climate alarmism, that's child abuse. Passing these curriculums in these school systems that are introducing children to 100 and so genders, that's child abuse. I never thought that I would have to witness the same types of behaviors that I saw in individual cases of child sexual abuse, where you had predators that would groom children and prepare them and make them willing participants in their sexually deviant proclivities. And now we're witnessing the same thing happening on a societal scale. What else would you describe inviting transvestites to dress up and to twerk and to talk about genitalia in front of 5-year-olds? That's child abuse. I played the TED talk to where you had Mersheim Hine, this professor, on a TEDx talk discussing the normalization of pedophilia, saying it's just another sexual orientation, just like homosexuality. And I, for one, am absolutely disgusted by it. And what happens in society, and this is why they do it. This is why they do it. They normalize the deviant and then marginalize those of us who stand firm on God's word and say, you're just old-fashioned. You're just backwards. You don't keep up with the times. There's no keeping up with the times if the times are violating God's word. And when you say the times, you're talking about people changing their opinions. We are normalizing child abuse. Scared of pants off children with climate hysteria? No problem. You got this little girl in front of the UN talking about y'all have stolen my dreams. Normalize sexually deviant behavior? What do you think that's going to do to a child when you have a drag queen sitting children in their laps that they know is a man acting like a woman? What do you think is going to happen to that child in the private setting? When you have a man and say, hey, come sit in my lap. This ain't rocket science, folks. But it's happening on a grand scale in front of our eyes that we have people who are more than willing to abuse children as long as it advances their political agenda. You have an entire business subsidized by the federal government that kill children for a living and they are able to hide behind a moniker. No, we're just advancing healthcare.
This is Pastor Jim Scudder Jr. for In Grace Radio. We're excited to announce that we're now on American Family Radio every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central Time. You'll want to join us for In Grace because we're going to open up the Word of God, preach it, and teach it, and we're going to bring you some pretty interesting programming from the Grand Canyon to Under the Water in Key Largo, even the Ark in Northern Kentucky. Join us this Sunday at 8:30.
Folks, you know, I used to be a football fan. I stopped being a football fan. I could not stand the idea of people denigrating that flag and refusing to stand for it. My attitude about folks like that is, please leave. You ought to be thanking God every day of your life that you were born an American. I know that my country's not perfect, but I still love America.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Accurately interpreting Scripture. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. If you've ever been in a group Bible study, you have probably heard an attendee say, "What this passage means to me is," with all due respect, it matters not one whit what the Bible means to any given person, but rather what God means in the Bible. The goal of studying Scripture is to understand God's intent via the human author whom he inspired to write the text. The Christian's call is clear in 2 Timothy 2. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Hear an interview about interpreting Scripture at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Turning children into political pawns. That story next. A lot of people scoff when I tell them our public schools have been turned into indoctrination centers for the left. But it's true. The latest example happened on the streets of San Francisco. At least three public schools had students participate in a pro-immigration rally. I want you to listen to what a group of children, fourth graders, were shouting during the rally as their teachers looked on. Who do we hate? Donald Trump. That's what they were chanting. I find it very hard to believe that a group of grade school kids came up with those chants by themselves. This ought to horrify every freedom-loving American. Those children should be in a classroom learning about math and science. Instead, the public schools in San Francisco are raising up a generation of community organizers. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. We will open the phone lines this segment. If you'd like to join the program, you are welcome to do so by calling 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. What we're discussing is first the scripture in Romans 12, verses 1 through 2, that instructs believers not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And just discussing that, that conforming to the world is not necessarily a bold, bombastic confrontation, but it's more often than not tacit and sensual and almost implicit in many ways. Because the whole idea of peer pressure, most of the time when we think about peer pressure, most people think that is something that only afflicts young people. But that's not the truth. Older people bow to peer pressure on a daily basis. Do I need to bring up Mario Lopez, Drew Brees recently? You know, and no disrespect to Drew Brees, but I'm going to keep it real. He folded on that. You know, he folded. I mean, I can go down the list. Lauren Daigle. I mean, we can do this all day long. Joel Osteen. You know, folding. how did Brian say it? Like a cheap Bedouin tent in a stiff summer breeze. But have we been conformed, man? One of the ways you can ask yourself is, are you silent more frequently than you should be? Sometimes when the conversational bullets are flying, notice I said conversational, when you know that the Spirit of God is saying inside of your heart, you need to speak up. You're like, nah. Have you been conformed? And think about this. Is the culture, the press of the culture so strong that it would even cause you to disobey the Spirit of God? Think about that. Have we been squeezed into the mold of something that we are not? Sometimes silence can be complicity. Second issue I'm discussing. I've just noticed that regressives are more than willing to abuse children continuously to advance their political agenda. I argue that climate alarmism is child abuse. It's child abuse. You have young people scared, senseless, many of them. Not everybody, but some of them are petrified, terrified. And you know it's fake because some of the same people that are talking about it, they fly around in private jets. I mean, the same people telling you,
if you want to save the planet, you need to stop eating all this red meat.
And just this weekend in Iowa, what happened, Jeff? 10,500 steaks. Elizabeth Warren and her gang of crazy folks, they flipping steaks on the grill. Now, if you think eating meat, eating beef is the problem, that's killing the environment, that you got little Greta, not Hansel and Gretel, little Greta, talking about you stolen her dreams and her hopes while you in Iowa flipping the grill, thinking you on barbecue pitmasters or something. You know, like I brought up the example, man, if Barack Obama thought this climate change stuff was what it was, why is he buying beachfront property in Martha's Vineyard? You see what I'm saying? They are more than willing to perpetuate this false narrative to advance their political agenda, but they're not living like this stuff is real. It's a ruse. It's a ruse. But they're more than willing to perpetuate it as long as it advances their agenda. Another example, how are you on one breath going to talk about what we need to do for our children, and in the other breath, you are advocating for a legal right to kill them in the womb? That is completely inconsistent. But doesn't stop them from doing it. Doesn't stop them from doing it. So I just, you know, that one just hit me. Hit me straight up. And I just thought, man, I'm seeing this pattern that they're more than willing to abuse children to advance their political agenda. You know. So many other things I want to get to. I know it's hot in the media right now. The discussion of President Trump pointing the attention on Joe Biden and the Ukrainian affair. Now, if you are an avid listener to the Hamilton Corner, you know all about Joe Biden and the Ukraine because we talked about this back in, what, April? It's like, Joe Biden's going to run for president. But this dude, and this thing, did dirt, got away with it, but didn't have the sense enough to just shut up. Now, Joe Biden tried to say that he's not involved with his son's business dealings. I'm going to play some audio for you when he was speaking to Fox News reporter Peter Ducey. When Ducey asked him directly, he said, I have never talked to my son about his business dealings in the Ukraine. But there's one small problem. Oh, Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, he said, yeah, I talked to my dad about him. And I find it interesting, he talks about the Ukraine. But Joe Biden, are we going to mention China too? Because Hunter Biden struck the bigger of his deals with the Chinese government after flying over there on Air Force Two with Pops. We're going to talk about China? So what seems like, you know, I'm thinking about one of the listeners, Karen. She says all the time, Haman's gallows. You know, this whole whistleblower story was promulgated to try to ensnare President Trump. But it turns out it no looky too good for Joe Biden. Because what happened, well, you don't have to listen to me. I'll let old Joe tell you himself. So back in 2018, in the year of our Lord, 2018, Joe Biden is speaking before the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR. And if you know anything about them, that entire group is responsible for a lot of the shenanigans that go on in the deep state and a lot of the social engineering that happens in our society. I may have to do a whole show in the Council on Foreign Relations and the people who are alumni of the CFR. And you'll note that is a bipartisan regressive institution. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Rod sent this to me. Another example of willing to abuse children. San Diego State University, just about 2 weeks ago, a student in a class took a picture of a school slide, a presentation during class, a lecture, where the teacher was arguing in school, in the San Diego State University, for pedophilia being treated as another sexual orientation. Look it up for yourself. Look it up for yourself, San Diego State University, a couple weeks ago. But getting back to Joe Biden, 2018, Joe Biden is speaking before the Council on Foreign Relations, and Joe Biden was feeling himself. You know, Joe Biden was big chest, nostrils flared, popping his collar, speaking of his exploits as a former vice president. Listen to old Joe in clip number one.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko. They would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Now, let me explain what Joe Biden is talking about. Joe Biden is popping off, you see, because he's saying Barack Obama put me in front. He's talking like he's a gangster. Obama put me in front of this. I run this. And he was given authority over $1 billion financial arrangements for the Ukraine. But Joe Biden demanded that if y'all want this billion, then you have to fire this prosecutor. The prosecutor Joe Biden is referring to was a Ukrainian equivalent of our Attorney General, the U.S. Attorney General. Biden said, if you want this money, you have to fire this prosecutor. The Ukrainian government tried to say, you don't have the authority to do that. Your president didn't allow this. Biden's like, call him. You got 6 hours. We're leaving here in 6 hours. And if that prosecutor is not fired, you're not getting this billion. Well, you see, what had happened was the existing prosecutor was investigating a company doing business in the Ukraine called Rosemont. You want to know who's the principal of Rosemont? Hunter Biden. See, old Joe has this problem called foot and mouth disease. Yeah, there's no cure. You know, it is an endemic condition. See, Joe Biden's foot and mouth disease is that he can't get out of his own way. So he's popping off about using the weight and pressure of the U.S. government to force the termination of a prosecutor who was investing his son's company for nefarious dealings. And guess what? It worked. The Ukrainian government fired that prosecutor, brought a new prosecutor in who no longer looked into Joe Biden's son's nefarious business dealings. But Joe wasn't content to let his son make his millions. He wants to pop off about it. So now, what began as an effort to try to extend this coup from Russia now to Ukraine is now turning on old Joe Biden. To the phone lines we go. I promise I'd get to some calls. I want to try to do this. We'll start in Texas where Ryan is on the line. Ryan, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mr. Hamilton. Thanks for taking my call. I was curious on your thoughts where I agree with you really 100% on this being brainwashing, teaching these kids that the world's going to end and, prepare for the end, the last Generation Z nonsense. I wanted your thoughts on, as Christians, what, to follow up with that and really hold these people for child abuse. On the same side, what do we have to say that when they claim what we're teaching kids as far as Christianity and all the things that we teach them about heaven and hell, that they couldn't turn around and say the same thing about us? I just, you know, as a nation, where are we at? You know, this just, it seems so upside down.
Oh, Ryan, thank you for your call and your question. Yeah, see, the major difference between them and us is we have this thing called the Word of God. See, your question is really turning on the authority of Scripture. The reason why we can say that our teachings are not brainwashing based on lies is because we're basing our instruction on the immutable Word of God that has stood the test of time and will stand the test of time. We can show the inherent verifiability of the Word of God, how it's the most verified scripture, source of literature from all of antiquity, how the prophecies have come true from the Word of God. We can show that this book that we have been given miraculously by the Lord God Almighty is truth, while simultaneously highlighting the error. In other words, it's a simple matter of studying to show ourselves approved and making sure that we inoculate our offspring against the lies of the world by helping them to understand the truth of the Word of God. So thank you very much for your question and giving me the opportunity to share that. Because the issue is not in instruction. The issue is in instructing in lies. That's the issue. I have no problem with indoctrination. I want to get doctrine into my children. Doctrine based on the truth of God's word. That's the distinction. That is the distinction. I'm going to go back to the phone lines. We'll go next to Mississippi where Josh is on the line. Josh, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call. Hope you're having a great day. I just wanted to call in and give you a firsthand testimonial about the effects it's having on children, schools, teaching them about climate change. My son is 11 years old, and it was probably about 2 weeks ago, he came home and we were having a discussion about what he had learned in school and got to talking about climate change. I could see it was upsetting him, and a little bit later, he ended up crying. And I was asking him what was going on, and he was just talking about how he was terrified that climate change was going to end up killing him. He was going to die from what we were doing to the world, and how it was going to end up ending his life.
Wow. Josh, thank you for calling and sharing that. See, folks, that's an example of what I'm talking about. Now, this man has his 11-year-old son so upset over climate change, he's afraid he's going to die from it. That's child abuse. This is why, you know, if you're listening to me, you have young children, you may need to spend some time to get up to speed on the issues, on all of the scientific debunking that has taken place for a lot of the popularly spouted talking points. A great resource for you is the CornwallAlliance.org. CornwallAlliance.org. Dr. Cal Beisner is the president of the and founder of the Cornwall Alliance, where there is an abundance of resources that will enable you to refute a lot of the lies from the climate alarmists, and so that you can solidify and shore up your children against these lies. And then primarily, go back to the Word of God. The Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell therein." The book of Colossians tells us that the earth, creation, the terra firma, consists and is held together by Christ himself. We as human beings are not more powerful than Christ's ability to maintain the earth until the end of the age. The Bible speaks to the authority concerning the earth. And we have sufficient resources to inoculate our children against this foolishness. But Josh gives a great real-time example of what I'm talking about. These people are more than willing to abuse our children, have an 11-year-old boy crying at night because he's concerned about the impact of climate change. That's child abuse, folks. But thanks be to the Almighty God, we have the light, and we can light up the darkness with the power of Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith.